What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. We back. Second half. We're going to get into the depth chart, your man Larry. Got the guys here with me. Going to get into the defensive depth chart. We ran through the offensive depth chart early on, just our projections and, you know, who's returning with the portal. You know, you only have one portal window now, so your team is pretty much put together. You can still pull players from the portal. No one can enter the portal. So the entry time is done. So pretty much everybody on our roster is on it. And they may go dipping into the portal, but I doubt it because I just don't think there's a whole lot left inside there right now that, you know, is desirable to help really build this roster up to where they want it at or to maintain where it's at. So we'll get into the defensive side. And also, we had a coach depart, so we're going to get into that a little bit, some possible replacements for him. And get up out of here. So, per usual, got my main man, Turnpike Measy. Two cameras on the back of the phone.
What it do, man? Turnpike Measy on this lovely Saturday morning, man, talking some Kings football. Man, it feels like the weather app says it feels like negative 8 degrees up here, man. It's freezing.
Yeah.
I know, bro.
Woo!
I know. It's like 13, 14 degrees, but we got like winds at like 40 miles per hour right now. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cutting up
legit,
out there.
Yeah, it's legit freezing, man. It hurt outside, though, but man, we in the house this weekend.
Yeah.
We got Boss Man Chef Rob in the building. What's happening?
Man, what's happening? Ain't cooking up nothing today. You know, it's early, 12 o'clock, man. You know, we don't usually do this, man, but hey, man, ready to get it going. Talk this good Canes football, man.
Yeah, I got 65, feel like 65 right now, Measy.
Man, that's lovely.
I know you said you can't come back down here, but just, you know, a thought, bro.
We got hella ice on the ground, too, from that snowstorm.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, right now, all you need is a nice little light jacket. You go outside. Man, the sun beaming beautiful out there. Blue skies. Ain't been no rain, either. Ain't been no rain, bro. It's just been nice, clear skies. You know, coldest we done got was, I think it dropped down to 20 a couple nights ago, but other than that, man, it's been nice, man. I'm enjoying my time in Florida. I don't think I'm leaving. We'll see. So good. We 3 years in. I think I'm finding my new home. We'll see though. The money talks. If the money show up in New York, I'll be right up there and freezing my ass off in the Northeast too with everybody else.
but you gotta think about it though. The money, yeah, you got the money in New York, but also it's expensive as hell. So
you got a match. Yeah,
you got a match. Yeah.
You got to pay New York money. You can't pay.
Yeah.
Like what I made here, solid money. You take that in New York, nah, they ain't gonna get it. That's why everybody in New York got 17 roommates. Like, nah, I'm not doing it, man.
Everybody paying $200 for rent.
Yeah. It'd be late.
Yeah, man. That's crazy.
All aspiring actors and comedians and shit up there, man.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. What iPhone you got? I ain't seen one with two cameras in a minute. What that is?
Man, it's old. It's a 14?
Oh, ain't that old. You just got like the down model. I think I got 15. Yeah, I got 15, I think. 15 Max, Pro Max or something like that.
Oh, I see. See, I ain't got no iPhone, man. Hey, I'm still on my.
We know. We know. Ruin the whole group chat.
It's a 14.
I was sick. Your old was just a group chat.
Hey, man. I got me three of them things, man. Hey.
Three cameras with it.
Hey, man. I like my Galaxy, man. Like I've never had an iPhone my whole life. My very first phone was a Samsung flip phone from Sprint when the Sprint was jumping, right? And then after Sprint, I went and got a Nextel. So I was chirping for a couple of years. You know what I'm saying? No? Oh, man, that chirp was the best thing.
Get people jammed up, man.
But see,
all kind of wild shit in the chirp.
Yeah, so sometimes, like, you'll get random chirps. It'd be like, who this? And then it'd be like some shit. You'd be like, whoa, hold on. You got the wrong number. You got the wrong number.
You would turn that bitch going, man, the whole last night was crazy.
Yeah. But see, the thing is with it, right? Before the message comes straight through, it'll like send you an alert that somebody's like chirping at you. And then you can look at it and then you can say, yeah, what's up? And then they answer with whatever they're going to answer with.
Yeah. Well, some people don't have fun with it. But anyway, let's get right into it, man. So we'll start with the coaching departure. Matt Merritt, the guy that's always doing the little at the beginning of the videos that they for the cinematic cuts, doing all the pumping you up speech. He do a good job, man. I give him that. You know, we had a good running back room under his regime, and I think running back hasn't really been a particular area of concern for us, really. In I don't know. I can't remember last time running back. Yeah, it was like I'm worried about the running back room. Maybe we haven't had the most elite of elite, but we always been solid. What you think about? What like when?
Nah, a couple years ago when we had Lucius Stanley getting significant carries to walk on.
Yeah.
Hey, boy, I ain't forget like that year
that was because of the injuries though.
Yeah, but that still, we lost our top two running. We lost the top two running backs, and then we had a walk on. You know what I'm saying? Right. It wasn't like we lost the top two running backs, and it's like, oh yeah, the third running back. He, you know what I'm saying? He came in and did his thing.
We went and got him, didn't we?
Well, he was a. Say it again.
Didn't we go get him from like out the portal from like Alabama State or something like that?
He was at UAB. And he was a grad train, like he stopped playing football. Yeah. And so we got him as a walk-on.
Okay, I got you. All right. But nonetheless, yes, despite that little dark moment in time, I forgot all about that.
Oh, God.
Running back room's been pretty good. We've done pretty well in Florida as far as like getting some of the top running backs out of Florida, keeping them from going to Ohio State. Shout out Mark Fletcher, Jordan Lyle, both who was committed to Ohio State at one time. Done a pretty good job, at least in that regards. You know, wide receiver, we complain about getting, you know, some of our top guys getting out of the state of Florida, particularly South Florida. But we've done well with running back in general. So Merritt has gone on to coach the same position for the Arizona Cardinals. And so that leaves another vacancy on the offensive side of the football. Any concerns from y'all early on? Just having two holes on the offensive side or recruiting going too, really.
I feel like when you have the season you had, that's what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And with the calendar, it's a lot of teams in college football, big teams, losing coaches and everything. So I don't think it's anything like a concern. I'm kind of with you, Arian. Like when you say – when you talk about the DB coaches, like, man, just go get me, like, the best DBs. I feel like running back's a big thing like that. Just go get me some, like, real high-quality running backs. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't even think it's that big of a problem.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I don't think it's a big of a problem. I think if it was more of you lose, like, your offensive line coach or your you know what I'm saying, or your defensive, something like that, if it's something – in the trenches, I think, yeah. But when it comes to, like, those skill positions, like, as far as, like, running back, wide receiver, and DB, you know what I'm saying? I don't think you need, like, the best of the best. You know what I'm saying? So I think with our room that we got, man, you just need somebody that's going to come in, you know what I'm saying? Like, really, really just, you know what I'm saying, just manage the room. You know what I'm saying? You don't need a superstar coach, you know what I'm saying, in my opinion for that. Tight end, I don't think you need a superstar coach there either, but I mean, I have superstar options of who I want to be there, but I don't think you need a superstar coach to be there. Just like you say, running back, I mean, we have Tim Harris Jr. I mean, he wasn't no all superstar, you know what I'm saying? Kevin Smith at the time. We had Eric Hicks. We had a couple of guys where it was just like, it wasn't no super, like, who was the last coach where it was like, oh, yeah, he's a big time, you know what I'm saying, running back coach hire. We never had like a Juwan Sider, you know what I'm saying, right. Somebody like that. We've never had nothing like that, so.
Yeah, I don't think we need it. At least in that position, it hasn't proven to be like a necessity. So a couple names have been out there.
Not impressed. Yeah. Oh, my bad. My bad. I was moving something out the way. My bad.
I got you. I got you. Just, I was concerned for you. I was, what, I fell down. Juwan Sider was the name that got thrown out there early on. Sider, he been a name that
every time.
Yeah, every time we get a position over the man. Sider. I don't say Sider ever happened. I think if it was going to happen, if it's going to happen, now would be the time, because it's a serious staff that I think he believes in, or has the ability to believe in after seeing what he's doing. I think, honestly, the reason he passed on us in the past is like, man, y'all ain't serious about really winning that, man. So it does change the optics, and I think our optics presents a very attractive job to anybody right now. Like, right now is the time to jump on this Miami bandwagon. If you look at, even if you look in the pass through and just use it as a springboard, this would be the time to join them. You just have to be ready to recruit. That's the main thing to me. Just bringing in guys that's going to continue like Mario to be that relentless recruiter. Another name been thrown out there, Clinton Portis. Absolutely not. I don't know what the hell y'all talking about. I've seen the fans talking about that. Listen, we can't hire all of them, brother. Like, Clinton go do his work. Yeah. He at Dell State, cutting his teeth, you know, getting ready. You know, you got to work your way up. You got to work your way up. Will there be a time where I think Clinton Portis could be the right call? Sure. Is it today? No. Y'all quit throwing Clinton name out there. Ed is not about to come out there. He's not about to come out there and coach. Y'all can throw that name out the window as well. Ed is not be coaching the running backs. There's a couple other names that's been tossed around with that. The Michigan running back coach right now,
Tony Alford.
Yeah.
Good. He old, bro. But man, he like 60, bro. Like, I don't want nobody like that on staff, man. Not to coach my running backs, man. With the way this Mario grinds on the staff, right? And as far as, is Tony Alford ready for that? Does he want to do that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know. I want somebody who's going to come in and they know what Matt Merritt was a grinder. You know what I'm saying? He was with it. I don't think Kevin Smith was a grinder because he was only here 1 year and he left. He got up out of here like, yeah, I'm going to go back to Ole Miss. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. I don't, Alford, he's a great coach. Like, he's one of the top running back coaches out there. But with the way Mario recruits, like, is he going to be on that same type of time? Warren Sapp told y'all. He was like, I would have loved to have been the, you know what I'm saying, coach the Miami defensive line. But, man, look here. I don't want my day to start at 4 a.m. I got to sleep in. Like, and I know 60-year-old Tony Alford ain't starting at 4 a.m. in the morning trying to go on the road and recruit and do all the other type of stuff, man. Go get me, like I keep saying, go get me one of these young up-and-comers. I mean, you can go locally, you know what I'm saying? Get somebody local, like pluck somebody head coach from one of these local high schools, you know what I'm saying? And let them do their thing. Like I said, you did it with Tim Harris. I mean, well, because he was on the Booker T staff. He was on one of them staffs. Like, you plucked him, you know what I'm saying, from high school or whatever the case may be. Or he got plucked from get one of these local guys, man, that's ready to that know what the grind is and understands what's going on, and let them do their thing.
I wouldn't get nobody from high school. I would still stick with like the college ranks or something.
Particularly, are you saying
just in general?
Not that same path, you're saying. So this time you would go somebody that's already at the collegiate level.
Already like established at a collegiate level.
I think that's what we added the program to.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think you'll never see a big school like, oh, going to get somebody from the high school ranks. Because then once you start doing that, it becomes I'm not with you, Larry. I think we're past that. I just would.
Yeah, because of negative recruiting tool.
Yeah, and I can't even see Mario doing anything like that.
Because and the other schools starting to say, I'll let you speak in just a second. Other schools are going to start to say, man, who this guy developed? Which, you know me, I'm big on that bunch of bullshit, bunch of overhyped shit. But kids fall for that shit. So what you going to say, D-Ross?
Okay, so two things, right? One, people said that shit when we hired Jason Taylor. Like, who has he developed? Like, he was at the high school level, right? And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, look what happened. Look what he's doing. Now he got about to have two first-round picks. He got other guys that's getting drafted.
Yeah, but
another thing, right? If you look at Texas, Measy, nobody cared about that, though. Nobody knew. These young kids don't know they didn't watch him play football, Jason Taylor play football. Yeah, he might be a Hall of Famer, but it's, like you said, who has he developed? That's what people are saying. He ain't developed nobody. But guess what? He got an opportunity, and look what he's doing, and not a lot of kids are seeing that. You know what I'm saying? Another thing, right? Y'all got to look at these Texas schools are doing. A lot of these Texas schools, like Texas Tech, A&M, they're hiring these high school guys. Like, they're hiring these big-time high school coaches. Coach Prime, he just grabbed
assistants, though, like quality control. I don't think they're hiring them as like position coaches.
Yes, they are. Shit, Prime just hired the coach from Georgia.
Colorado ain't big time though, but
I mean, but still, like it's just what they doing. Like that's just what they doing. Remember, we hired Jess Simpson. Remember, Margaret hired Jess Simpson. He was fresh from high school. He's the D line coach.
Yeah, I'm with Larry on still. I think we're past that.
I get it. I get what you're saying, but like, I for that position, I wouldn't mind if you go local. Like for certain, for that position, go local, man. Like, you don't have to go far to get your running backs. You know what I'm saying, or whatever the case may be.
It's a strategy, right? That can work, and if there's the right guy, I could see that. But like, I don't even know right now. Like, if you're looking in South Florida, right? Who would you pluck right now?
Right.
I don't think there's a South Florida coach, because that's where you would want to do it from, right? You want to be local so that it helps your local ties. Because that's the other thing about Jason Taylor was, yes, he hadn't been at the collegiate level, but he was coaching at St. Thomas Aquinas, and he's an NFL, you know, former player Hall of Fame. So you could sell that a hell of a lot easier. Just like Prime was selling, you know, he the best DB ever, right? And some people fell for that shit, but I don't even know how that dude coaching no more. That's the sorriest shit I've ever seen out there in Colorado. It is no effort on his behalf. Like, it's absolutely zero effort on trying to actually build that roster up. They recruiting rank is constantly in the damn 70s and shit. Like, it's silly. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Anyway, that's a whole other topic for a whole other show.
Yeah, the one coach that, if I had my choice, the one coach that I would grab if I needed to is Chaminade's head coach, Damian Jones. Because he has ties. Yeah, he's at Chaminade.
Okay.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he's real. I think he was also at, I don't know if he was at, I think it was at Carroll City also at one point in time. But he's been the Chaminade head coach for like the last, about 8-9 years or so like that. So
is he an offensive guy?
Yeah, he's an offensive guy. He's an offensive guy. So I would look at him. You know what I'm saying? As possible, you know what I'm saying? That we could probably look at. But like I said, I mean, I get what y'all saying. Like, I mean, that's not where we at as a program. But if I don't see anybody right now where it's like, okay, let's go get him. I mean, what's the guy who's at Texas? Chad Scott? Like, I he would have been a good choice. I mean, Tashard Choice would have been a great choice. But he's in Detroit with what's his name? Yeah, he in the league.
I mean, and that's the thing where we have to start looking at, and we're going to see how it starts to evolve over the next few years. A lot of guys are still going to run away from this college grind, especially adding in the NIL factor of it now. So now you're dealing with not only trying to get these kids, they got to deal with agents. And it's a whole nother level.
Recruit your room every year.
Right. Every year. And then it's another personality to deal with, right? You go to the league, right, and you're an NFL running back coach. All you're doing is dealing with the players, the agents and all that stuff. That's all taken care of, a whole different level. You're not having to sift through that. You ain't got to call up through them. somebody up top handle all of that, and then they just come in your room and you deal with that. At the college level, you dealing with the agents and stuff right off the rip from just going out recruiting and everything. You go sit down in that living room, the agent gonna be sitting in there. You know what I mean? Half the time, they want to talk about all this. So we're gonna see. I think you will see at a point, depending on how much of a added restrictions they put in on NIL to kind of wrangle some of this stuff in a little bit. You know, they already did a little bit with the portal by closing the second window. I think you may see an exodus of a lot of guys, as many who can at least, trying to get to that damn lead when they may have really wanted to stay at this level for a while. But, you know, it's a whole different layer that's now been added to it. And, you know, I think in looking in this position, you know, I always go back to this one particular guy only because I had my skepticism from the beginning. And we got him, and it proved to be what I thought was like Jameel Ladai, right? He's going down to Miami. Oh, he's a top recruiter. He got voted one of the top recruits. I'm like, bro, you don't have to recruit Georgia. at DB, at that time, there's no recruiting. The top guys want to come in. All you got to do is call them up. Hey, you want to come play? Yeah, all right. Your spot, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, to me, that's not. You haven't shown me anything when you're at the very top school. And then you get on here, what happens? Every top target a guy had, swinging and miss. He didn't bring in one top guy. I don't think he had the personality for it, number one.
But, yeah.
And then, you know, he went to the leagues. I think that's what he'd rather do. But I won't absolutely hate a high school guy if it's the absolute best pick. I just don't see it happening right now. I think, you know, we try to go, I think Georgia got a guy that I kind of like heard his name circulate, Jamal Lewis. You know, I know we're trying to get, well, I don't know we're trying to get. I know us as a fan base would like to go get the tight end coach from out of there that used to be our tight end coach.
Hartley,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's my number one.
Hartley was bringing in some tight ends, boy.
Yeah, Hartley was doing his thing, man. And then, you know, losing Merritt, he one of them, you know, fired up dudes too. So he kind of helped bring some of that energy into the locker room that you're going to be missing a little bit, you know, some of that intensity. So, you know, we know Mario, the NFL won't be out of question either. I wouldn't tack a particular name to it, but – you know, he gonna search far and wide. That's why we don't already have a tight ends coach already, you know. And I think the fan base now has become accustomed to it and relaxed, and now everybody's not, you know, losing their mind over, oh no, we ain't got it done yet. It's like, bro, just vibe. It's going, even if you don't like the hire, what's gonna really matter ultimately is the results. You know, like X not here now, but he wasn't a fan of the tight ends coach that left previously. And with, you know, some of it was from the insight he had from being closer to things. So, you know, guess what? He gone now. If it ain't a match, then I think ultimately Mario gonna let you leave with grace too and try to get you in a better situation or a different situation, not necessarily better, to where you can go do your thing and be in a comfortable spot all around. Another name I saw, what's my man name? Oh, Demir Shaw from Rutgers. And you know we got them Rutgers ties too. From Keanu. Yeah. He was a Broyles Award nominee. So, you know, somebody with some chops. He got a little he got some guys developed that's looking all right. I could see it just because there's a relationship there. Like I say, Shiano gonna quit answering his call soon, though. Like if he keep picking on his staff, so
right. Yeah.
I got him at the bottom of the list because I think he on one to just leave for a minute. Like, all right, man. I thought we was homeboy. Every time I look, you stealing one of my staff members. So we'll see, man. We'll see. We'll give it a little time, some things to shake loose, and then we'll get our coach in due time. But I think the same thing is gonna be the key is. Just make sure we get a guy that's ready to grind it out and kind of keep these Florida running backs coming in. You know, I wouldn't mind going up to Georgia too. See if we can pull a running back from out of that out of great state of GA. What you got, D-Rod, you about to say something?
Yeah, One thing, oh yeah, Damian Jones, he was at Hollandale, not Carol City, before that. And like he led them, like they had like a, like before he left, he turned that program around. They had like winning record. I think they went to the championship. I think they lost though. But then he went to Chaminade and he did his thing there. But also as far as running back, like I when you mentioned that Rutgers thing, I ain't gonna lie, in the back of my head, I was like, that might be where they go. That might be where they go. And like you said, like Shiano is like one of his mentors outside of Nick. So I think if he get a chance to pluck one of his guys again, I think he'll just go ahead and do it. I think he'll do it.
He can't hit a dog like that again, man. He gotta give him a pass one time.
Hey, man.
I just saw before we're gonna move on to the depth chart. Rutgers, I saw, has been operating at a $50 million debt every year since they joined the Big Ten. So they are currently at $500 million in debt.
Dang.
Yeah, it's crazy. I looked into it. I was like, this is interesting. Like, how do you do this? Basically, they just spending like Big Ten, but they don't perform like Big Ten. Like, you know, Rutgers in Jersey, they're not going to fill a stadium like a big stadium, like the Horseshoe, like the Big House.
Yeah. And
so they're spending at that level, but it's just not creating the revenue, man. That's the long and short of it. So
I think that's the same with I don't think them or Maryland. I get why they left, but if they would have still been in the ACC, they probably would have had more success because more revenue in it. Like the teams at the top have like been so inconsistent outside of Clemson at one point in time. Like who knows? They probably could have won it maybe once. You know what I'm saying? We never know. In Maryland, they were actually an okay while they were in the ACC. They weren't bad. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know.
They had some moments. They had some years.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what they do. If I'm advising them, man, just step down. Just find you enough. Even see if you can just come back to the ACC before it crumble apart.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to fight with a big dog and they ain't got the muscle to do it. So anyway, all right, let's start looking at this depth chart, man. We're gonna run through this. Wanna start D line or go secondary first?
We can start in the trenches, and then we go out to the back seven. That's good.
We'll work our way from the gutter. Well, that's why I like to get down anyways. We're from the gutter on up to the luxury suites. All right, so obviously we losing Reuben Bain and Akeem Mezador. All right, so
yeah,
big losses there. But I think we pretty tooled up. So returning, you got Marquise Lightfoot, Armando Blunt, Hayden Lowe, Booker Piggott, Herbert Scroggins, and Cole McConathy. And then you're bringing in Damon Wilson, Ashari Charles, and De'Anthony Lafayette. I think that's all the names covered that. So that's your edges. Clearly, Damon Wilson is going to be one side.
Uh-huh.
Who y'all think locks up the other side?
I think it's going to be Low, and then I feel like Lightfoot's going to do a lot of what he did last year, coming in every other down. Speed rush package, move him around everything, use him as spies and everything. But I really strongly feel like Hayden Lowe's gonna lock up that other side. But they said he was gonna play a lot if he didn't get hurt, they were saying.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say Lightfoot. I think Lightfoot's gonna get a start. One, because like you said, Lowe is coming off an injury. It was a shoulder injury or something like that. So he's gonna have to get back into the groove of all that stuff. You don't have to rush him out there. So I think Lightfoot is going to continue to get better. I think he's probably going to pack on another 10, 15 pounds of muscle. And I think that he's going to get the start with, like I said, Lowe rotating in on one side. And then what's my guy named Blunt rotating on one side. But I think Blunt going to play all over though. I think he's going to play inside and outside.
I can't see Lightfoot getting that big in one offseason.
What, 10 pounds?
Yeah, I don't really necessarily know how exactly big balls he really get. I'm thinking if he does.
That's a hell of a pause.
Yeah,
I respect that one.
I just can't see it though. I don't think he maxed out, but I can't see another 10 pounds. That's the only reason I didn't have him starting, because like run game and everything. I don't know about holding the edge, things like that.
I think that's a fair concern. That's my concern with him as well.
Cause they ain't even using any really rundowns last season.
Right. Yeah, he's more of a passing down kind of guy. And I think that'll just be his role.
Mm-hmm.
I think next level for Lightfoot, because I do think he is an NFL player at this point. Not saying he's a high draft pick guy at this particular point in his career, but I think next level, he'll thrive in a 3-4. And we don't run really a traditional 3-4. It's more of a 4-2-5 front typically. And he works still for Heatherman, because Heatherman likes to stand up DN in a lot of situations. So he'll work, but I kind of tend to agree with y'all. I think you'll see Wilson. I'm a little tempted to say Blunt maybe on the other side because of his age, experience, and size. But I agree he's going to play. They're going to kick him in sometimes as well. So it could get – I think what we got is like a good problem where we got some interchangeable pieces and we could do some different things depending on what we want to do. Mm-hmm. Then once you look at the bench, you got Cole McConathy who didn't leave. And remember, Cole played, you know, a decent amount of snaps as a freshman. He just been hurt. Mm-hmm. So last year he got banged up, and you know, Mezador and Bain never left the field. So it was hard for damn anybody to get on the field for because of those two guys. I think we will see a little more rotation this year.
He hanging in.
What you say?
He would have left.
I did too. So to me, that speaks volumes to the fact of A, the culture, and B, I think his thoughts on the chance to get on the field. I think he's feeling good about his opportunity to actually get out there and get back into it, get his body back together. And I don't think he thinks he's going to be a starter here, but I think this is when you know you're building a good culture too, is when guys are willing to just be a key role player on your team. Even though I think Cole might be able to go, he could have went the Eastern Carolina route. He could have went with them boys over there. And I think you take him over there and he gets a starting position. So you got a
Rob meet up.
Yeah, hold up. Yeah, Rob. You know, he don't want the chef. He was good.
Right.
That shit, the bug bit him easy.
He seen me eat that sandwich now.
Hey.
In the kitchen.
Hey, that boy got hungry. Yeah. Hey, that boy got hungry.
Right. This sandwich tore too, man.
Chef more activated.
Right.
Oh, man. But yeah, I think Cole could have went that route and became a starter. And I think, you know, either A, he believes in his ability to eventually claw his way to the top of that depth chart, or B, he just thinks that he could come here and play a key role and he just liked what they got going on. And I was impressed with him his freshman year. So getting back healthy, getting his strength back together, getting his football mind back together, I think he could be another key contributor.
And we rotate a lot.
Right, and I think this year you'll see more rotation on the ends.
Mm-hmm.
I think Damon Wilson will probably be kind of a stalwart or whatever on his side, and we'll spell him probably the least. But I still think you're going to see much more rotation than you saw last year, which I prefer. I had times where, especially on some of these teams that try to run tempo and run a lot of little tricky stuff like Louisville game, SMU game, both games we lost, where I could clearly see that Bain and Mezador were gassed.
You always pointed that out in a little group.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, they don't want to come off. I don't give a shit they want to come off. The good of the team.
Yeah, you say you're going to get tired. You're still human.
Yeah, it's just natural, especially if they're running. You know, if they're moving the ball, it's natural to get fatigued out there. I'm not saying you got to sit down the rest of the game. Give me two snaps, three snaps. And we should be able to depend on somebody to come in with fresh legs and hold us down for 2 to 3 snaps while we get our superstars a little, you know, a quick breather. So I think you'll see a little more of that this season. I mean, he's shown that he's willing to leave his guys out there, but I think at the same time, that's because those guys are so productive that it was hard to pull them off. And even at a high snap rate, they still played at a very high level. Go ahead, Jerome.
Hey, Larry, let me get – so, one thing I wanted to say, right, my only kind of concern that these guys are lighter than what we had with Mesidor and Bane. Because, you know, Bane and them, they're like – it was like 260, 270. You know what I'm saying? Right. These guys are like 230, 240. So it's going to be definitely a different change. I think our biggest DN, well, would be what, Blunt or whatever? Yeah.
Well, so, they got listed at 255 right now. So, I mean, he's pushing that 260 ticket, you know, depending on where he at right now. That's where he got listed. And he's a big dude. We've seen the picture.
He's big.
That was a freshman. So, you know, I know he's coming off that injury. So, if he got back in the weight room and, you know, put on 5 or 10 more pounds, I think he'd be in that bigger mold. But I agree. Go ahead with your point.
Yeah, so like I said, Scroggins, like they played some significant. What was McConaughey? Was he hurt or he just?
I think he was hurt, and then I just think he kind of got leapfrogged a little bit because of the injury. He was dressed, and I do think he was available, but I don't know if he didn't trust himself all the way or the coaches didn't trust him all the way. Because yeah, third shout out Savannah, third Scroggins, he got some decent burn too as the year went on.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Pickett, they played quite a bit. And I only think that they're probably going to play more this year because I don't think that you're this is not going to be where, you know what I'm saying, like Wilson and them are just not going to come off the field. And you know what I'm saying? I think they're going to rotate a lot more. So I think we're going to get more fresh bodies out there.
Yeah. And Scroggins actually listed at a little bigger than I thought as well. They got him listed at 6'3", 245. So, again, maybe with the offseason, he might be able to put on 5-10 more pounds. Get up in there in that 250 range. I agree with you. I want to see most of my DNs at that 250 plus, not too heavy, no more than 270. Because I mean, Bane was even a little heavy at 270. He just can move really well. You know what I mean?
He ended up losing a little weight from his sophomore year too.
Right. Yeah.
I think he got a little too big.
I think he reshaped a little bit. I think the weight didn't drop significantly. I just think he put on more muscle. It got rid of a little more fluff, so it he's still a big guy, but I think it helped him improve his flexibility and just his overall power. Which you're talking about a guy with, you know, some of the most violent hands we don't see
in a long time.
Definitely in recent Miami history, you ain't seen too much like it. But yeah, all in all, man, I think that room has some proving to do, but I think there's a lot of talent there. That makes me confident that we'll be in good hands. My bigger concern will probably be the run game and trying to maintain the dominance we had, you know, all season long. I mean, we had a dominant run stopping defense, and a huge part of that was the two defensive ends we got. And, you know, those are bigger guys and veteran guys. So, you know, these guys are gonna have to get the experience up and, you know, they're gonna have to get out there, get the snaps, play. But I think if there's an area of concern with defensive end, I wouldn't look at talent. I'm going to just look at, are you guys committed and you know, football savvy enough to make sure that we're still on top of the run game instead of everybody just trying to chase sacks? We've seen how that could go for you. We had some talented guys, you know, that chasing the quarterback and never setting the edge. And in order to play in this defense and to play at a championship level, which this roster I think is – capable of doing, you got to be able to, you know, set the edge and plug the run game as well. So we'll move to the interior D-line. Losing David Blade Jr., Mr. False Start himself. I can never understand
bro,
that. With
oh,
that
my
brother.
God.
And, then he and not False Start outside, like, but either way, yeah. I'm just like, ow. You over the football. I've never seen a D lineman do that many times. I really think the brother had like seven, eight of them.
Consistently.
Yeah, if you put him in a game, he's probably gonna get you, you know, all sides. He's gonna jump all sides. It's crazy,
bro. He was good for like you said. I think he went like five straight games where he would do that, and it's like, bruh,
They stopped playing him for, I feel like, a couple games after that.
Yeah. His snap definitely went down.
Yeah.
Because of that, for sure. I agree.
And what pissed me off about it, he did it, and he knew he did it. He was just, like, jog off, like, that's just the norm.
Like, frustrated. Same reaction every time.
Darn it.
Right.
Dagnabbit coach, they got me again. Yeah.
I don't even think it was doing no hard snap counts either. He just jumping.
Nah, he just anticipates too much. Yeah. And it's funny, they would show Jason Taylor and he'd be, watch the ball. I'm like, you have the easiest view of the ball.
How it started frustrating. You could tell it started frustrating the defensive players on the field too. After it started becoming a consistent thing. Mm-hmm. They would start putting their hands up in the air. I think Aguero, one of them one time, went snapping on him. Like, bro, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, no doubt. So Blade out. Thank God Amari Moten's returning. I think Amari was draftable this year. For sure. I think Amari, especially down the playoff stretch, I think he played himself into the third, fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's coming back to try to play himself into that first, second round. I don't know if his ceiling's that high. I'm not sure, but I give him all the credit in the world, man. He's probably the most impressive development that I think we've had in the program in a while, where he stuck around. Right. Yeah. He stuck around. He's been sitting, waiting his turn, sitting, playing back. He was a fourth star, I believe, because he was going to go to Oklahoma.
He was a three star. Yeah, he was like a borderline, high three, maybe a four on one site.
Rivals might have had him at four or something like that. Right. Yeah. So, and has just consistently gotten better and played itself into a, like you said, unblockable, really unbenchable position. Like, you can't really sit him. So, thank God we're getting him back, because this probably might, this year would be my position of the most concern, is D tackle.
It was going to be a hole there if he left.
Oh, huge.
It was
because your other returner, which again played better, and but he's a five star, is Justin Scott, right? Like, Justin Scott, I think he's consistently gotten better. I think, next year we'd be looking for him to make that Moten jump.
He could be inconsistent, too.
Right. He it's time for him, especially the five-star guy. This will be his third year. So his third year playing, big-time football. He got his strength together. Remember, he played a lot of basketball previous to that. And it's three years playing, be his third year playing big-time football. He's going to play a lot of snaps. And I do believe I watched him get better. And better, but there were some inconsistencies there. I think he's got to step his game up to where he's that five-star guy, to where he's in the conversations of, oh, wait a minute, who's this guy again? We kind of forgot about him. Or, because, you expect five-star to jump out the box.
He hasn't been playing football that long either, though.
Right. Yeah. Again, I still like him. I just think it's time to take it one more level up. And if he does, then we're very stout at the point of attack at the one and two spots. You about to say something, D-Raw?
Yeah. So, and see, for me, I think this is actually, to me, I think it's a strength, right, compared to DN. And the reason why I say that is because, yes, you're bringing back Justin Salk. You're bringing back Amari Moten, right? But then you got Jarquez Carter, right, mm-hmm. who played 9 games at Ohio State. So that's your three. And then I think that fourth guy, hopefully a Stancil, because like I said, man, y'all know I'm high on Keyshawn Stancil. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm super high on that guy. Anytime you flip something from Clemson that they really wanted and you was able to flip him, because we know when it comes to D-line, they actually are pretty good with developing guys on the defense. They damn good at that. So it's like, I think we have a solid four, even with one of the red shirt guys, with Makai Newton, and I forgot the other guy's name. It's slipping on top.
Let me see.
It's another guy. I can't think of his name right now. But I think it would have been really good if Simpson would have came back, because he also played significant snaps or whatever for us. But that's
I didn't understand that though.
Yeah. So
I think got to play with him fast.
So, say it again.
Money, I think, came into play with him very fast.
Yeah. So I think that with you basically swapped Simpson for Carter. And I'm not mad at that. Because I think Carter is a little bit further along in his development and stuff like that is compared to Simpson. So I think we're going to be straight, man. I think we're going to be straight. And Moten, another reason why he also can't remember, he had a procedure too. He had to get a procedure on his ankle because I think he played the last few games. He was hurt. Like he 100%.
Was it Ohio State game?
Yeah. No, A&M. I think he only played how many? He didn't play a lot of snaps at A&M, was it? He only played like a couple snaps and then he left out the game.
Because I thought he wasn't going to play no more. I can't remember which game it was, though.
Yeah, it was A&M because remember after the game, Mario was like, how's your ankle? He was like, man, fuck. Yeah, he's like, man, fuck that ankle.
Okay, I'm tripping. I thought it was Ohio State. I might be tripping on that one. Okay. So my issue there, though, D-Rod, is I think the loss of who's the guy we just said went to that transferred out?
Simpson.
Yeah, Dante Simpson, right? I think we needed that experience. Great, great size, and we're going to be missing that. So what's going to happen is everything we're going to rely on after our first three haven't played no snaps. So, again, there's talent there. But man, we'll twist ankle away. You see what I'm saying? To where we really won't have any depth. Where like now we're going to be calling on guys who then we better pray Keyshawn Stanis is an absolute beast. Hearing great things, I'm optimistic on him too. I definitely think he is D tackle four as of right now. Which we discuss it right now. But you lost. I forgot. We also lost Artavius Jones, who just never got on the field for us. So you ain't really losing an experience of snaps with him because he never played. And you also lost Dalen Russell. Again, never got to play. So I understood his departure as well. But, yeah, it just puts us in a situation where the young guys are – which kind of what we was in this year, where that's why Dante Simpson played. So we'll be in a similar situation. And we just got to hope it works out well and they stay healthy.
We tripping. The transfer, Keona Davis from Nebraska.
Oh,
I forgot.
Yeah. Remember, yeah.
Yeah. So remember, he played 13 games. So that's and I was thinking, but I just couldn't think of his name. Yeah. So that's why also in Nebraska they wanted him. They wanted him to stay so bad. They wanted to keep him so bad, and we was able to pluck him. We was able to get him, and he's big too. He's like 6'5", 270, 280. Yeah, he's actually up there too, and he can play both sides. So. I think that's your four because you got Moten, Scott. Yep, you got Keona Davis, Carter, and then you got what's the name as your fifth? Stanson is your fifth.
I'm with that because I need my top four to be guys with some experience. I don't want to have to rely on a Stanson in his first year if he plays into it. Then great. I just want to make sure he plays into it and we just not forced into it. But yeah, I forgot all about Keona Davis. I put
that on
the Capata list and it was on there too. I don't see how then, you know, AI be bugging sometimes. It didn't put it on here because he was on the list that I originally put together. So yeah, that was actually a big time need to be filled. So that will help us. That does alleviate a lot of concern. So I guess it ain't much to be worried about then.
So as a D tackle, He played in 13 games. He had 12 starts. He recorded 32 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sack, a breakup. And he led all Husker defensive linemen in tackles.
No doubt. All right, look at linebacker. So losing Besaint and Jalen Alderman. Chase got granted another year, right?
Yes.
So yep. You got Chase coming back. Muhammad Torre's coming back. Mm-hmm. Jamal Bonner, who didn't play, but I think the expectation is that he has an opportunity to be a contributor. You got Kevin Wiley Jr., who, you know, a lot of hype on him previously. So we'll see if he could be, you know, fight for a spot and see. And then you got Cam Pruitt, who I'm assuming still with the linebackers. I know at one point he's kind of working with the safeties. I don't know if he's able to get his weight up is what it seemed to be the concern with him. So he's kind of like in that – he's in a no man's land, similar to – who was that safety we had that ended up transferring to Virginia Tech? He made a play on us. He was solid too.
Caleb Spencer.
That's who he reminds me of. So we'll see if he could carve out a role on this team. I think he's a gifted athletic dude, but I think yeah, with a weight struggle, kind of keeps him right there in that, right there in like no man's land. And then incoming freshman, we got Carson Birch or Birch, however you say his last name. He came in from
a summer enrollee.
Yeah.
Everybody's in, right?
No, he's a summer enrollee. He's the only one.
He's the only one not in.
Yeah. He's the only one. Yeah, he's the only one that's not there. Everybody else is there.
Everybody else is already on squad. Okay, that's what I thought. So clearly, I mean, Torre is going to be back. He's going to be a starter again. I know a lot of people upset with that. We also lost Malik Bryant, who's listed as a linebacker, but he's really more of an end. Malik ended up transferring himself. And you have Ezekiel Marcelin is still with us. Kind of a bit of a
special teams
linebacker. Yeah, he probably,
he's,
I don't
know. He's short. He's short.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a shorter dude. Oh, and we lost Bobby Washington Jr. So another guy that he's kind of waiting on and hoping Bobby could carve out a role, but never quite worked out for him. So hopefully, you know, he land on his feet and you know, go out there, make his case and make him some money out there and get himself into a position maybe to play in the league one day. So really, really athletic guy. You know, there's some potential there, but I think he had to learn the position a lot. And I think that's what held him back ultimately as far as eventually getting on the field and being a contributor for us. So Torre gonna lock down one side. Who y'all got at the second side?
Ooh. I think it's gonna be
weak side.
I think it might be either Chase Smith or the boy from Armwood.
Kellen Wiley,
yeah.
Kellen Wiley. See, Chase, I think, will be backing up Torre.
Yeah.
It's how I envision it right now, at least.
Yeah. Kamal Bonner. That's the one. That's the transfer that we got from NC State. I guess from the projection, they got Torre and Kamal Bonner as the starters. I think Bonner didn't play one. I know they wanted him to get his weight up, but yeah, he had production at NC State, but I think he was kind of forced to play because they really weren't that good anyway. But I think you got Torre and Bonner as your starters, and then you have Chase backing up Torre, and then you got either Pruitt or Wiley backing up Bonner. But I think with Pruitt, I think that he's also going to play as a box safety. I also think that too. On certain situations, I think he's gonna play as a box safety. So, yeah, that's where I get them guys. But I'm telling you though, we can't. I know he's probably coming in the summer, but we can't sleep on that that kid from Kentucky, Carson Bush. Like
I think he's six three in the year.
Yeah, he's 6'3", like 230, 240, like right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
in my dream scenario, it's him and Wiley. You know,
yeah.
Next year, not this season coming, and the season afterwards though.
Yeah.
The 2027 season. Oh, also Justin Edwards was another guy.
Justin Edwards.
So we only signed two linebackers in this cycle. Edwards is, you know, he's a 6-footer, but like he is very productive. He does move around really well, covers sideline to sideline really well. You got
to say he like a legit 4-5.
He looks it. If you look at his film, man, he does look really fast and intelligent out there. So I think he's a guy that may end up, you know, climb his way up too, but like you said, it's gonna be kind of tough. If you get both of them 6'3" linebackers to play what you think they can play, It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult getting out there. But I definitely want to see Wiley play this year because there was way too much hype around him for me not to see him get some burn this year. But y'all kind of agree with that sentiment?
Yeah.
If not, then what was it all about?
Yeah, you know, I understand. If you don't, raise the issue going on somewhere.
Yeah, something not right.
Because with his transformation too, like they showed, like they had to put the pictures up, like. He put on some good weight. He added some muscle, man, and you know he's going along pretty good in his development. So, well, let's just see, man.
I don't think he's a defensive end. I think he's a linebacker. I don't think they're going to try to convert him or anything like that. He was playing linebacker already in high school, so I think he's that. So this year, I'd like him to be. You know, last year we pretty much consistently rotated four linebackers. I'd like to see him be one of the four linebackers this year. But we, you know, because again, you got to worry about injuries. You know, Torre is through hell and back. This would be his, what, eighth year in football, you know, and bro actually responded online about, you know, the criticisms and everything he was facing. And I get it too, honestly. I'm just like, all right, y'all just mind your damn business at the end of the day. Like, it ain't really hurting nothing. So if you ain't good enough for the league, you ain't good enough for the league. It's younger guys that are better than him now. And they go to the league. So you're not stopping nobody. Like, you know what I mean? I push back against the narrative that he's in the way of some younger guy. Because at least in Miami, a younger guy can take your spot. You know, like we kind of talked about with Josh Moore. I think that's why Josh Moore is back. I anticipate Josh Moore being our starter outside wide receiver. I don't think just bringing in other wide receivers took his spot. And I think that's why he came back. A, to fight for it and prove that it's his. And B, I just think he's probably the more talented all-around player out of these guys. So to act like just the fact that he's still playing, because for one, he didn't play all those years. That's one reason he's back. He wasn't in the way all those years. He was injured. So, to act as if this older guy is just in the way of these younger guys, I don't really buy that because, bro, Coach gonna play the best player, at least here with us.
That's,
you know, I think maybe in the past you've had some coaches, even with Miami, that I thought, you know, went with seniority a little too often. But today, we seen it last year, one of the best wide receivers in the country, true freshman and a year young. So that's not gonna fly in Miami. So if Torre get beat, then he ain't gonna play. He'll be a backup. I just doubt that happens. It's just that's where I'm at mentally with it. But if he get beat out, he gonna get benched. That's just the bottom line. The advantage he will have is the mental part of the game is gonna be advanced over everybody else. But generally speaking, I think we solid again at linebacker. You know, I think the star power would be is if a Kellen Wiley Jr. can step into that star role. I don't know if he's that. And with, like I said, with the height that was kind of attached to him, love to see it. I love to see him get out there and make some plays and then make us go, oh, okay, this is what all that talk was about. But, I mean, again, I doubt – I ain't going to even say doubt. We're not going to go in the portal for a linebacker. You know, I feel bad for these portal kids now, too. There ain't no second window.
Bro, there's so many of them in there, too, man.
Just stuck, man. And to a lot of their – you know, I give him credit. The under-talked about story is the guy that get pushed out. But that's the problem when the amateurism is starting to go away. You know, they still trying to treat them like they're not professionals, even though there's a lot of professional aspects to it. Then it becomes like managing any other roster, man. And somebody got to go. You're going to get that a coach want to see. Bring your playbook.
It's the NFL. You know?
Yeah, it becomes the NFL. You got to bring your playbook, bro.
Yep.
All right, let's look at safety. Man, we missing my dog. You know, he made us fight all year between, like, who's defensive MVP. God, man, our defense. God, man, bless the boy, man. We had a fighting ass. That's the best defense in the country. Bar none. There's nobody. Ohio State, cool, very good. I give him number two. We had the best defense in the country.
Yep.
And one of the big reasons is Jacoby Thomas. He'll be going on to the league himself. He's a guy to help this hit raise his ceiling as well, come to play to Miami. Tennessee didn't want to lose him. You know, I checked the message boards. You know, that's what they say, the truth will be told. Whenever you're trying to figure out, like, how good a guy you just got, go on that message board, man, and see how the people reacting to it. They was not happy to lose Jacoby Thomas. He was already penciled in as a starter for Tennessee. So, came here, raised the ceiling, and it's going to be putting himself in a better position. But, you know, outside of that, that's a position where we've been a little bit on the younger side. So, there's some youth in that room. And on the plus, they played. So, you'll be bringing back Zachariah Poizer, who will clearly be one of your starting safeties. And you're bringing back Bryce Fitzgerald, you know, ball hawk. Bryce went out there and what did he get? Six picks, I believe, this year.
Six.
Yeah. And you got Dillon Day, who's been, you know, special teams guy for us. He was a guy that I think we thought we was going to see a little bit more of this year. But I think the way Bryce kind of emerged ended up pushing him down the depth chart a little bit. So I was a little surprised he came back. I thought it was a good chance that Dillon Day might go ahead and end the
portal. Day still looks lost at times too.
He's more so like I said, I'm still super high on Dillon Day, man. I think that it'll all come together finally, but I can't dismiss what he does on special teams, man. He's a good special teams gunner. But I love what he does when he does get his snaps. He does make some minor errors, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case may be. But I don't think ain't nothing that we can't fix. Second year in defense, I mean, I just think that Fitzgerald was just a more talented guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the ball hawk. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I think they still gonna get some snaps at starters. I definitely think it'll put Poyer. I say put Poyer at strong, and then put Fitzgerald at the free. Because, like I said, he's a ball hawk. That's what he does. Against the run, I'm not – yeah, he ain't there yet. When it comes to that, Fitzgerald ain't there yet. And then with Omar Thornton, I think he should be your nickel. Because he like nickel at Boston College. He was a star nickel.
He's going to be your Keontae Scott.
Yeah, right. He's going to be your Keontae Scott. And those are your guys. And then
he wrote already too, don't he?
Huh?
He already wears zero, don't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when you rotate your guys – and at safety, then you have Dillon Day, you have the true freshman who they like, Dunnigan, and then at the nickel you have who we have at nickel? I think what Portis as backup right now.
Well, you have to look at another name I was going to throw in there who is hearing. I'm not sure where is Ewall, right? Is he with the safety room or is he with the corners?
I think he with the safeties. He with the safeties.
Move him over to safety now.
Okay. Yeah,
I wasn't sure if they decided to make a full time push over to the safety room. But they were high on Ewald as well. Of course, we lost Jadaeus Richards, who was well corner, probably could have played some safety. He ends up transferring out, coming off that injury, obviously. And then Keontae obviously graduated. He's another older guy, run out of time. Isaiah Taylor, is he still? He still got any?
I think he's done.
Eligibility. Yeah, I think
he's. Yeah, I think this is it for him. Yeah,
and
still got Ryan Mack too.
And Ryan Mack, that's the name I was just trying to find. Yeah, Ryan Mack. Who? I mean, Ryan's still probably on the lighter side as well. And I don't know. Is Ryan probably more of a? Is he more of a nickel?
I think he's
more of a true safety. I think he's more of a nickel as well. But yeah, they've been talking good on Portis as well. So maybe Portis is the early guy that might back up the nickel. We'll see. I think Portis might already be bigger than Ryan Mack as well. Just today. And then, like you said, Dunnigan is a guy they super high on. I think he'll definitely get in the rotation. Young position in general. You know, if we keep Poizer healthy and you know, the thing with Poizer is he is a solid guy on that.
He got better as the year went on, too.
He is. But then, like, every once in a while, he will take an angle that just make me want to kick the TV off the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while. All in all, you take him. I think he's a talented guy as far as what we ask him to do in general. He ain't solid. But every once in a while, I ain't gonna lie, he pissed me off, man. I'm big on the safety position.
Yeah, he gave up a few real long runs.
Yeah, a couple of them that hurt us bad, where like either he took a bad angle or he tried to like kind of go for the power shot and didn't land a solid tackle. But I think he's reliable enough that you're gonna feel comfortable in most situations with him, you know, covering the back end back there and then coming down and helping the run support. I think you could see, again, kind of like we did last year, where a young guy could emerge and carve out at least a role, like with Fitzgerald being a guy we put in on passing downs. Maybe a guy like Dunnigan, who, you know, he's already a big guy that they like early on, that, you know, he may carve himself out a role to where he's getting a few snaps every game until they trust him a little bit more. And that leaves us with corners. All right, so see who we out of there.
You got OJ on the outside, Lucas on the outside. It's gonna be the same thing as last year. Ethan O'Connor rotating in with them.
Damari Brown.
I think really those are only four that are really gonna play like that.
Well, what about your boy Antoine?
He's gonna play. He's gonna play. That's why I'm kind of surprised that all four stayed. I thought somebody was going to probably go for greener pastures.
That money good down there.
Huh?
That money good down there.
Yeah, the money good. I get it. But I was just looking at the aspect of, I thought either Damari or O'Connor, I thought one of them was going to leave. I didn't think Lucas was going to leave because he just transferred from Wisconsin. You locked in. OJ, they're not letting OJ leave. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't really healthy this year. But I think that with Damari Brown kind of getting like injury prone, and then O'Connor
played
great. He's been solid.
He played great besides the last game. O'Connor was the last game.
And I was like, I hope he doesn't take that and be like, you know what? Let me get up out of here, because you know what I'm saying? Like one of those ones, but he stuck it out. I think they're going to find a way to get Jabari Antoine on the field. Or we could be looking at a situation where Damari Brown or somebody else plays nickel to where Antoine will get more playing time. But I think he's going to play a little bit more, and I think that junior year, the year after, is when I think he's probably going to lock down one of them slots, because, man, I like that kid, bro. I like that kid. He bounced back from his injury.
Yeah, he looks good for, you know, a guy who hadn't got to play a lot. And then you got to remember, too, you mentioned injuries. That was the thing with Frederick and Damari Brown. We consistently played four cornerbacks, last season. So you're going to be four deep for sure. We're going to consistently rotate that, I would imagine. And then you throw in an injury, and then, now all of a sudden, Jabari Antoine is going to be that much more important. Because, I mean, the same thing you're saying about Damari, I'm starting to kind of get that feeling with OJ as well. The injury's starting to look like a consistent thing. So he's got to – you know, for working his flexibility, his strength, whatever it is, where he's, because the room is getting dangerous to now where, man, you better stay healthy. your spot is looking real. If you see what we did before, we went and got a whole new team. Everybody got to go.
Nah, facts.
Everybody got to go. We got to get all new bodies in here. And then incoming, you know, we already brought up Omar Thornton, who, you know, like I said, probably played the Keontae Scott role. Same thing for Camden Portis. Then you also got though Brody Jennings, who will be more
like, seatbelt.
He's gonna be like a nickel, I feel.
You think Brody is? I think Brody might be kind of like a Damari Brown type role. We'll see. He's not gonna play this year. I would imagine. I don't think he's gonna play this year. Jalen Waters, Seatbelt Waters, and Jontavious Wyman, another corner out of Georgia. Oh, and also I forgot to mention with the safeties, I don't want to leave Bro out because he out of GA too. Cortez Ready, another safety that we brought in into this last cycle. So I mean, I think you right, Media. I think it's gonna essentially be the same four, and I think the five will be Jabari Antoine. And then it'll shake itself out at that point. I think those would be your guys. Corner's not usually a often injured position. It's just been biting us a little bit. you know, with two guys in particular. But it tends to be a fairly healthy position, so I think we'll be okay there. And I think we present, you know, a top. I have to do more research, but give me. I'm gonna go at least top 20 cornerback room in the nation. I think we sit that well. I'd have to look a little bit more if I make like a bold top 10 room, but I think we at least top 20 as of today. And then let's see, anything else?
Special teams,
yeah. Obviously we're losing Carter Davis and Bert Auburn, Bert, I don't even think ever kicked for us at all.
He didn't.
He never ended up kicking for us. And then we brought in Jack Olson from Northwestern. That's gonna be our kicker. As far
specialist.
As yeah, he'll be our field goal guy pretty much. And then you got Jake Weinberg from FSU, who'll probably be our kickoff specialist. Is more than likely how that's gonna work. And then Jake will probably be trying to, you know, round his way out to being the kicker for next season. Punting wise, we'll be bringing
Dylan back Joyce
in, right? Yeah, I'll be getting confused with them Australian man. The boy be old, but they be young, like they haven't played a lot of ball. So, Dylan Joyce was a solid punter for us. So we'll be bringing him back, and then you look at the return is specialist. So, I mean, I think it's foregone. Tony will be doing punt returns. Done an excellent job there. I don't think you mess with that at all. And so then what you're really looking at, is your kick return specialists. And who y'all like there?
That's always a funny one, because every time, like, I don't care what team you got, all right, I want this dude returning kicks. Like, he's fast. Like, he's good. He's never the one going to do it.
Because vision, I think, is so much bigger.
It's so, yeah, it's so
than the speed. The vision is so huge on kick returns.
I say it's gonna be Pringle, because he returned kicks at in high school. So I think that, yeah, Armwood. So I think you'll see him, and you'll probably see Wheatley Humphrey again or Lyle, either one of them. I think they need to go that route. I think that's probably what did Jacobs return kicks?
He returned punts.
Okay, well, yeah, no, they not moving Malachi from back there. You cancel that. Vandravius Jacobs, the transfer.
Yeah, from South Carolina. Yeah. I think that's it. I actually like that rotation right there. I think you'd be looking at Pringle, Lyle, Chris Wheatley, Humphrey, yeah, because they all came back. So I think you probably have two running backs back there, or they may go with Jacobs. They may split it between like Pringle and Jacobs, depending on just like you say, because like you say, Mizzy, sometimes that speed just ain't it. That's an aspect of it. But straight line speed versus, you know, a Devin Hester who's got like all of his moves and vision and wiggles.
His agility, his get up.
Yeah, right. The balance, the contact balance, that's what separates these actual great return men versus just your straight line guys who can just burn for show. But, you know, I remember I went back in high school, man. Dude, I went to school with Jimmy Green. And Jimmy was a good return specialist. And his whole reason was, Jimmy said, man, I don't like getting hit. Jimmy's got you running for his life. His whole deal was like, man,
I got to score. I ain't trying to get hit.
I got to dance, man. Because, you know, you definitely can't, you know, you're out there, you know, these called suicide squad. You can't give him no easy target. So, you know, he was good at, like, making himself small and just – avoided taking the big hits at the very least. So, that's a big part of it, is just the elusiveness. So I think, that covers everything, man. We did offense for you guys last week. And oddly enough, you know, we'll obviously, as we get way closer to the season, we just finished the season. Thank God, for the first time in forever, we just finished the season. It's probably not going to shake up tremendously, barring some injuries. But, you know, some things get interesting. You'll see once they get some practice in. And, you know, once you get your spring ball up there, there's going to be a name or two that's going to kind of jump up that'll make things interesting out there. And, you know, again, an injury or two there will shake it up. But I think, honestly, these early projections are probably going to be fairly accurate rolling into the season. Shit, man, I think that's all we got, right? We good?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
For sure. We wanted to do some shop talk for y'all, man, but we couldn't find X. He got lost for a minute. I wanted to tell him how Plies was going. Wash Trick Daddy in the verses. Maybe come back for next recording. Well, real quick, D-Rod, who you at?
Trick. Oh, man. I had Trick. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think that it'll be very competitive. I don't think it'll just be like, oh, he's just blowing him out the waters. I don't think that. I think it'll be a good versus, but maybe because I also listen to more Trick than Plies growing up, being from Miami.
Right.
So that's where, you know, I think that when it comes to hits, Trick might have him. I think he probably got a few more hits than he do.
Plies liable to wash Trick while you bullshit.
He got the streets too.
Yeah,
you know what they remind me of? They remind me of Lox versus Dipset.
Yeah.
I thought Dipset was gonna wash Lox. I don't even like Dipset like that. Like, so it wasn't a personal fan.
Lox and I was just taking hits in that show too, though.
Yeah, they showmanship, their presence, you know. So and then right now, Trick, he ain't look like the Trick we grew up with.
Yeah.
Trick gonna be out there looking like Bobby Brown trying to move around on that stage, man. He gonna be looking shot. People forget Plies played ball, man. We played for Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. He was what's the name of his quarterback? Roethlisberger, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I think you're right, man.
Yeah, Roethlisberger was his quarterback 1 year. I think his senior year, something like that, or one of them years. Yeah, he was with Roethlisberger.
We gonna get out of here, but Plies was probably the only guest when I was doing a roll up that I want to get on that show bad. We tried to get at him, man. Could never get in touch with him, man. Always want to try to get Plies on, man. Anybody got plug on Plies, holler at me, man. I'm trying to get Plies on the show, bro. That's one of I like his football takes, even though I think they'd be wild and all over the place. But, you know, it's just fun to hear a celebrity that get on there. You know, y'all talking now. But talk about football in the state of Florida. So anybody got a Plies plug, man, holler at me. I met him that one time at the Waffle House, but I ain't get his number or nothing like that. It was a high and by.
Yeah,
that motherfucker short as hell too. All the rappers short. All rappers
short as hell.
Anyway, let's get up out of here, man. Appreciate y'all pulling up. We'll be back. Peace.
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 We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.